On Tuesday's front page, Google made a $12 billion bet that its future and the future of big internet companies is in mobile computing. Insurgents unleashed a wave of attacks across Iraq. The scope and sophistication of the bloodbath was surprising. And the survey that says there are places in Florida where it's not safe to go for a walk. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Google is spending $12.5 billion to buy Motorola Mobility. But the big prize isn't Motorola's lineup of cell phones and cable set-top boxes. It's Motorola's 17,000 patents. They could be a crucial weapon in the intellectual arms race against Apple and Microsoft. And owning those patents will defend Google's Android system against patent infringement cases. Google said it'll continue to license its Android system to other smartphone makers, including HTC and Samsung. But analysts said the deal will probably make Google's hardware partners uneasy. Also on Tuesday's front page, a series of fatal attacks in Iraq sent a message: insurgents remain a threat. The relentless barrage killed 63 people in the most sweeping attacks Iraq has seen in more than a year. From suicide bombers to gunmen firing at civilians, insurgents struck at 17 cities, from Sunni areas in the north to the Shiite heartland in the south. Times reporter Michael Schmidt says the attacks underscored the chilling reality that no place in Iraq is safe.
One of the more interesting things I came across were statements from a member of parliament who criticized the Iraqi government, which has claimed for months that they have the capability to protect their internal security. The member of parliament said that the Iraqi security forces lacked the intelligence capabilities to stop any types of attacks, and that the insurgents continue to operate on their own without any fear of the security forces. The biggest question for the Iraqi government is whether to ask the United States to keep some of their troops here after the end of the year. The violence will certainly give the United States a little leverage with the Iraqis when they sit down at the negotiating tables. The United States can point to today as an example of how the Iraqi security forces still need the United States to provide them with intelligence and help with counterterrorism missions.
Times reporter Michael Schmidt. Texas is home to at least a third of the jobs created nationwide since the recession ended. The Texas economy is growing about twice as fast as the rest of the nation. This has Times reporter Clifford Krause asking, is Texas just lucky, or has it benefited from exceptional leadership? The answer is central to Governor Rick Perry's campaign for president. Some economists say he stumbled into the Texas miracle. They say he put Texas on autopilot for 11 years, and it was the oil and gas boom that kept the economy going. President Obama hit the road, kicking off a three-day bus tour of the Midwest that gives him campaign-style opportunities to go after Republicans. Times reporter Mark Landler says the bus looks like something out of a Mad Max movie. The president told audiences in Minnesota and Iowa they should tell their elected officials they're tired of partisan gridlock in Washington. Times reporter Lizette Alvarez says being a pedestrian in Florida is about as safe as playing golf in a lightning storm. The nonprofit safety group Transportation for America says the Orlando-Kissimmee area is the most dangerous place in the nation for walkers, but three other Florida metropolitan areas aren't much safer. Researchers looked at 10 years of pedestrian fatality data. On that scale, the New York area came out as one of the safest. It's been a decade since Christine Quinn joined the New York City Council as a left-leaning activist. Tuesday's Times says she's transformed herself into a mainstream pro-business moderate. Her opposition helped prevent teacher layoffs and firehouse closings. Her support helped legalize same-sex marriage. Now, with Mayor Michael Bloomberg's apparent blessing, she has as good a shot as anyone at winning the mayor's race in 2013. Inside Tuesday's Times, is this the future of higher education? Two Stanford professors will teach a course online, free. So far, 58,000 students have signed up from around the world. That's nearly four times the size of Stanford's student body. The online students won't get Stanford grades or credit, but they will be ranked in comparison with the work Stanford students do. A judge in Egypt ruled that ousted President Hosni Mubarak's trial will no longer be televised. The decision ends the trial's extraordinary immediacy. The first day electrified the Arab world with the image of an autocrat brought down by his own people. Mubarak's family was apparently pleased with the decision to turn off the cameras. His son Gamal, who's facing corruption charges, flashed a victory sign. A top Libyan security official arrived in Egypt. Nasser al-Mabruk Abdullah apparently defected. Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick puts it in perspective.
His departure comes at a time when the rebels challenging Colonel Gaddafi's 40 years in power are once again on the move. After weeks of apparent stalemate, the rebels from the western mountains inside Libya have moved in and taken control of much of the pivotal town of Zawiya. It's right on the doorstep of the capital, about 30 miles from Gaddafi's headquarters. It's also an important oil port and refinery where they get much of the fuel, and they're running out of fuel right now in Tripoli. So it's the main supply line for Gaddafi in Tripoli. This is the first time that the rebels have been so close to his stronghold. And it's also the first time in months that we've seen, again, signs of splintering inside the regime. In this case, the defection of the interior minister. For many rebels, it certainly raised hopes that they may actually be closer than ever before to toppling Colonel Gaddafi.
Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick. Madrid is preparing for a visit by Pope Benedict XVI. 120 priests signed a petition complaining about the cost. They're also unhappy about what they consider an inappropriate blending of church and state. The price tag for the trip is $72 million. The Pope is going to Madrid to meet young people celebrating a World Youth Day event. Some 450,000 have already registered. The organizers expect three times that many to show up. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.